do it. Okay, so I'll just get started here real quick. We have about 40 minutes. So kind of what I was thinking, good plan would be, so I'll talk a little bit about the trip, show some pictures. And then instead of it just being like a one-sided thing, I thought it'd be a good idea if I have some discussion questions in the middle, and we'll kind of see. I didn't really time how long this will take, so we'll just kind of wing it, see what happens with that. And hopefully, like, I'm planning to maybe teach you a little bit more about India, and then also maybe you guys can help me process some of the things that I've been thinking about a lot recently. I know it might be kind of strange because obviously I just came from India, so I care a lot more about, or like, I have a deeper, much deeper connection to a lot of the issues going on here, but I'm, yeah, hoping to maybe provide some connection for you guys too. So I go to Eastern Mennonite University in Virginia, and I am, as most of you know, I'm a third year math major. And there are usually two cross-cultural trips that happen every semester. This spring semester, it was the India trip and then also the Guatemala-Colombia trip. So there were two trips going this year. I decided to go to India, and I had a great time. So it was 3.5 months. There were 32 students, so it's a pretty large group. We had two leaders, two main leaders. One was the professor at EMU, psychology professor, Kim Brenneman. And then we also worked through a touring company in India that professionally, they lead groups around India. So that was like kind of the early setup with that. So kind of the basic plan, because India is really big. It's like, it's a third the size of the United States, but it has three times the population. So the density is a lot more there. And the lighting isn't as good, but as I thought it would be. But we started our journey in Delhi, which is right there, the one. And we really made our way around a lot. We kept moving. We got to a lot of different places. So we went to 30 plus cities and visited 8 Indian states. And we traveled over 17,000 miles, and that's including airplane stuff. I like numbers, so I like calculated some of this stuff. It's like 70% of the Earth's circumference, if you're wondering. a lot of traveling. And then exposure to like 10 plus languages, and many, many, many cultures. This trip was like kind of built for India because a lot of the other cross-cultural trips at EMU, they usually involve like a 2-month stay in one location, and that would be great for the group, for our group, but it wouldn't quite work out because of how diverse India is. So that is why we moved around a lot and didn't really stay in one place. And I'll talk a little bit more about the issues kind of concerning that method of traveling around India, because it didn't really allow us to truly connect to the local people as much because we were always moving. I'll say a little bit of history about India. I kind of forget what I knew before coming to India, so I don't really know how much you guys know. So I'll just start off with the basics. In the 1880s, the East India Company came to India from England. This was in the early 1800s, and they involved themselves in a lot of trading with India, and that grew closer and closer to, it was a one-sided relationship, and England took over that trading company at the end of the 1800s, and kind of transitioned into just ruling over India, and that was a really large task, and it's actually kind of impressive how they did it. But at the the start of the 1900s, England was pretty much in control of most of India. And then in 1947, kind of fast forward to that time, there was a civil war and Pakistan withdrew from India. England came out of India completely And then Bangladesh was also formed later. So I didn't actually know that before. Bangladesh came from India. It's kind of interesting. That's kind of like some basic history. There was a lot of conflict between Muslims and Hindus in India that kind of created that split, the divide between Pakistan and India, and then also Bangladesh. Just a basic overview of the trip and the history, and now I'll kind of dive into some pictures and talk about some places that I visited, and hopefully you guys won't get too bored, so kind of just that. So the first stop, like I said, was Delhi, which is the capital city of India. This part of the trip involved a lot of sightseeing. So it was the first week we were there. We weren't really know what we were doing. It was a lot of shock, a lot of horns, a lot of people walking around, overstimulation. We just got used to the culture, used to what was going on. We visited a lot of temples. This is a really famous Sikh temple near New Delhi where we were staying. We visited Old Delhi over here, which is a highly populated zone, the older part of the capital. Very intense. And then also visited a mosque right here, one of the largest mosques in India, and a couple monuments as well. So we kind of got introduced to India through Delhi. From there, we took a train to Calcutta, which used to be the capital of India. Now, this is really close to Bangladesh. It's right over here, if you can see this map right here. So Austin, I think, is actually in Bangladesh right now. He's leading a Bluffton trip around. So that was kind of cool to get close to that area of where Austin has spent a lot of time. It's kind of a crazy story, but our train getting to Calcutta, we had a 15-hour train ride scheduled. And because of a lot of the fog and pollution, the trains got delayed, and we ended up spending over 30 hours inside compartments and trains. So that was, again, this is the first week, so it was kind of a punch to the gut. We got used to not knowing what was happening a lot. When we were at train stations, we would pile our bags together and, like, one area so that we wouldn't have any theft problems, and we just like sit down beside our bags. It's actually my friend Joseph right there, if you can see him. He's not a bag, he's a person, it's quite an experience. Calcutta was really cool. This is like my first experience with getting a taxi, bargaining. It was a lot of fun, and they had these really cool old, like, retro taxis, like thousands of them. Around the city. And then we also stopped at an MCC location. It was really cool. We talked to a couple of people that had been serving there for a couple of years. So that was really neat to kind of see Mennonites active in Calcutta. From Calcutta we went to Bodh Gaya, which is in Bihar over here. It's a city. It's a really large pilgrimage for Buddhists. So we saw a lot of Tibetan Buddhists in orange-like robes walking around. The Dalai Lama, who is the main leader of Tibetan Buddhism, he was there visiting, so there was a flock of people going to the pilgrimage sites in that area. So that was kind of another shock. We were just seeing these places for the first time. This is a monkey right there, a full selfie. It's like our first interaction with some monkeys. It's kind of cool. Some of them are very dangerous, so we had to keep our distance. There are also these really cool prayer flags. They were very prevalent in a lot of the areas that we were in. It has to do a lot with the creation story behind Buddhism. Basically, they have the five elements present right here in each color. It's really very colorful, very vibrant, and kind of it's a really interesting expression of their beliefs in an artistic way. So yeah, some prayer flags, a lot of really large Buddha statues. This one was pretty majestic. And then, yeah, so from that pilgrimage site, we immediately went to another in Varanasi, and this is a huge pilgrimage site for Hindus because of the Ganges River, or locally it's called the Ganga. A lot of Hindus believe the Ganga is a god. So, and notice how I said a lot of Hindus. Like, it's impossible to like compartmentalize these religions into definitions because it's so like diverse. Like, you can't. Like, every tour guide that we had in every city said a Hindu was a different, like, Hindu believes in Shiva. No, like, a Hindu believes in Brahma. You know, it's like these different, like, different definitions. And, yeah, it was quite interesting to see this at Varanasi as well. And we also had a great opportunity. We saw some cremations happen by the Ganga. That was very raw and very, it was very open. And quite an experience, to say the least. So, this is like kind of concluding our introduction week.
So the cremations, you say at the river, so are the remains then put into the river?
Yeah.
Sort of like, mm-hmm. Okay.
So the process is they bring the bodies down the hill, wrapped in lotus flowers, and set them down, do several rituals, traditions, and then pile them onto these tables of wood, and then begin the cremation cycle or process, and then take the ashes and dump them into the river, which you can't really see over here, but this is a mound of ashes, and then they put them into the river. Now, what's interesting, what I thought was really intriguing, and what symbolized a lot of my experience with India is the fact that the morticians were like sifting through the ashes for gold. At the end. So this display is like, it's this openness with death, and it's very unlike our Western practices, and also an economic drive in almost every like action. So like even in like religious rituals, there's an economic opportunity to be made, so to sift through the ashes to collect the gold. So very interesting experience in Varanasi. And if anyone has any questions at all, just like raise your hand. It's a great question because it's definitely hard to explain sometimes. And if I skip over something, I would love to clarify. From Varanasi, we went to Goa and kind of started some classes. So we did some art classes, as you can see right here, a lot of meditation. Also some very interesting dance classes that it was strangely therapeutic, involved opening up and being vulnerable, and we kind of bonded as a group because of that. And there was a nice beach there. That was a nice, you don't really think of India as like a tropical place, but like it's very beautiful beaches, and we're in the southern part now right here. So I had a lot of really good experiences there. Awesome time. So this is where we learned a lot about the English rule over India, particularly because, it was kind of interesting that we learned it here, but the Portuguese had a large influence over Goa and ruled Goa for a long time. So we kind of talked about colonialism a lot. From Goa, we went to South India and continued classes. I took some music lessons. Had a really interesting opportunity, and I learned a little bit of Carnatic vocal music. So that was strange, a very different style than what like I'm used to singing. And then took some cooking classes as well. So that was a lot of fun. And so this is kind of interesting, kind of a weird picture, but these are the water bottles we used when we were in India. So the water was, in some places, very, very polluted, so we had to have filters on the bottles. So I got really used to using the Life Straw right here, so just connected to the water bottle. And by like the end of the trip, mine was like super beat up, but yeah, it really served me well. And then, yeah, we went to some more beaches, really amazing, beautiful views. We worked through this institution that helped us, like, get teachers for our classes that we had. And, yeah, a lot of us participated in dancing. Some of my friends participating in, like, some of the traditional dances found in South India. So that was very good. I feel like in this southern India experience, I saw a lot of vibrant culture. It seemed to be the most authentic experience of the entire trip, simply because there weren't very many tourists around this area. When I would walk into the village close by where we were staying, did not see like anybody white at all. So that was very interesting, and also just a very expressive culture, lots of colors, I really enjoyed this part of India the most. I'm gonna take a little break. This is about like halfway through the trip, and I have some discussion questions. I kind of want to hear what you have to say about of these issues as well. So I talked a little bit about the different pilgrimage sites for these religions, and if you can just turn to your neighbor and discuss a little bit of like what defines a world religion, and then maybe list some characteristics of a world religion, and we can have maybe a quick like 5-minute conversation about that. Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you guys talk for like a minute and a half to each other. But yeah, just turn to your neighbor and have a quick conversation about this. Yeah, like a religion that's prominent. Thoughts? Any ideas?
Yeah, we use that as a deity. There's usually a deity.
A deity? Mm-hmm. So one main, or not the one,
but
a supreme god? Or
yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Does the average person on the sidewalk, they're pretty much all Buddhist or something like that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Like when we think about India, we often think of it as a very religious like country. But a lot of like the modern parts of India, a lot of people don't have a religion, or it would be like, I guess it would be a lot of like just like here, like
secular.
Yeah, secular. Was, you ask someone on the street, what do you believe? They'd say, I don't know. What do you believe? Yeah, like so, there is like a lot of modern people, but yeah, there's so a majority of Indians, or like the mostly populated religion is Hinduism.
Are we open for discussion?
Yeah, like I had some really good conversations with Hindus and Buddhists, and yeah.
I would say a global presence.
Yeah, that's what I was like, this was one of the prompts for a paper that I wrote, and I was kind of like writing stuff out and then deleting. and one of the things I thought was like, well, maybe a majority in like at least one country so that they can maybe create like a diplomatic spread like through the United Nations or some kind of other medium. But like, I guess, yeah, if you were talking, you might have found it difficult to define what a world religion is, because even defining a religion is very difficult. And so like, that's kind of one of the main keys that I picked up. Even the term religion is a kind of a westernized, slanted word. And it's when you talk to someone, what Jonas was saying, when you talk to someone, like, they don't really know, like, it's more fluid than just like, are you a Buddhist? Are you a Hindu? So there's, and what's interesting, like, Derek, you mentioned like having a deity is like that's like a religion. Well, like in Buddha, like a lot of Buddhists don't believe in a deity. So like, so we try to fit this like mold of what a religion is into these people, and it's nearly impossible a lot of times. So yeah, I'd just like maybe this afternoon, if anyone journals or like have a conversation, maybe just bring up this topic and kind of think over it a little bit more. But yeah, like, really challenge you to kind of question like where we come from as well, why we have to believe that people fit into little groups, and why we can't be as fluid as maybe what actually is happening out there. A little thought, and then so right now we were in South India right here, and then we went to the next step of our trip and went over to the western part near Pakistan, in the state of Rajasthan. So Rajasthan is one of the more ancient states because of the influence of the Middle East. And yeah, so we saw a lot of different palaces, went to a lot of different temples. And at this point of the trip, we kind of got out of the classroom and began to talk to people more. We had a lot of tour guides kind of explain cities. We had asked a lot of questions. And this is more of the hands-on approach part of the trip. So yeah, we rode some camels. That's kind of fun. It's crazy. And then one thing that really impacted me a lot was this word right here, tourists. When we rode around in a big bus, and they had this like just tourist written on the bus. When I got in, I was like, I'm not like, what's going on? I'm across culture right now. Like, why are we labeled as like tourists? Like, I want to like have like, I want to have good conversations. I want to like be part of the culture. And like, in some way, I realized that that's almost impossible for me to do that. Like, I'll never be an Indian. I can't do that. And so like, it was almost, again, another punch in the gut, because I wanted to be, I was really, like, excited to, like, get to India and to be a part of what was going on, and then to be kind of shoved to the outside and labeled as a tourist, and then, like, have to go through that was, like, kind of definitely made me think a lot. One thing that was kind of interesting, this is kind of hard to see, but, again, just kind of, like, supporting this tourism feel, a lot of the places they would go to, they would charge like almost 10 times more for Americans or Europeans to get into something. So like that was again another like, this isn't fair. Like why? Like I just want to be here to like, yeah, to be part of the culture, and like just getting shoved out and pushed away was something that was, yeah, made you reflect a lot. Yeah.
Is Rajasthan also known as the pink city?
So that is actually I think Jodhpur, which is a city in Rajasthan. So Rajasthan is a state, and the pink city is, yeah, I think it's Jodhpur. There's a blue city, and then there's the pink city. And it's Jodhpur and Jaipur, so like they're almost the same, I kind of forget. But I think it's Jodhpur. I was actually there, so. But, this is kind of a small picture, but we went to this, kind of this, another symbol of confusion that we, kind of came into was at this temple. It was this this rat temple. So there were like rats just running everywhere in like the entire temple. And because of this belief in reincarnation with the Hindus, these rats are not, they're seen as very auspicious or holy, and they're not seen as like just animals. Like they have souls in them. And so like, just again, that different perspective of reincarnation and like
different religious beliefs.
Yeah, very shocking. So, but again, like had some good conversations with. I actually had a really good conversation with our tour guide, and like kind of innocently, I was like, "Wait, where did like?" I think I said, "How did rats get there?" And then he just like sarcastically told me the legend of like how the rats got there, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Like basically what he was saying, like he was saying that that's what people believe, but like not like he didn't necessarily believe that. Like again, we come to this thing where like Hindus believe the rats are people, you know, like we'd say that, but like not everyone believes that. Not all Hindus believe that's going on. So like it was again kind of a elbow slap. Because he was kind of being sarcastic about what actually happened. So again, like we have a lot of people that are like modern Indians that don't necessarily believe all the legends. And yeah, like.
So it'd be similar to having a secular person give you a tour guide of a cathedral.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Or yeah. Yeah. It's quite a good. Yeah, it's definitely some reflection there with our own religion and what we believe, in a sense of like, if we were to explain to someone who had no idea, like, how do we do that? How do we explain what happened to Jesus? And like, yeah, so just something to think about there as well. From Rajasthan, we went, this is more of Rajasthan. But yeah, again, we really, we traveled around a lot. We went to 8 cities in 18 days and over 1,000 miles. So in this part, I was able to read a lot, and that was a lot of fun to kind of do a different style of learning than what I was used to at ENU. So yeah, that was good. From Rajasthan, we went to Missouri, so we went up north. And this was after seeing the Taj Mahal. I'll talk a little bit about that, but the Taj Mahal is one of the like wonders of the world. So that was, yeah, I won't talk too much, but I would say one thing, like before going to see, I don't actually have a picture of it, which is really unfortunate, but it's this huge palace, or it's a monument. And like before going, I was like, okay, whatever, like a wonder of the world. Like I've seen a lot of stuff in India, it's not gonna be that. But like walking to, seeing it for the first time was, like there's a reason why it's a wonder of the world. It was pretty majestic and magnificent. So just, yeah, I would say seeing the architecture in India was really an amazing experience, especially with the tools that they had. Like, the Taj Mahal was built in, like, the 1500s, or it was built in the 1600s. But, like, just, like, they didn't have, like, they don't have the tools that we had, and just to see that was amazing. But, anyway, so after seeing the Taj Mahal, we went up north to Missouri, which is, like, the foothills of the Himalayas, and locally they call them the Himalayas, so it's a little different, but yeah, so some really nice, like, starting to get to some mountainous areas, and I took some language classes, or we took some language classes, so we came kind of from out of walking around the streets to more of, like, again, studying in the classroom. So I learned a little bit of Hindi, that was a lot of fun, and I did a lot of hiking in the area. That was awesome. It was a really good experience. So this was at like 6,000 feet, and I was getting a little bit of like headaches from the elevation. I had a lot of like elevation sickness when we went to Leh, which was the next place we headed off to. So this was in, this, we're like way up north now. This is like right in the Himalayas. Like, we were, you can look up and the mountains were right there. It's very beautiful. We actually went to this, so Leh is a small city. It's like a highly touristy city, but we got there and it was out of season. So like a lot of it was empty and we were like, just like hanging out. It was a lot of fun. And so Leh is like at 11,000 feet. So I don't know. Does anyone know what we're at right now? Elevation? 3,000? So there was quite a change. And like, yeah, so I had some problems with that, especially at this place. We went to 18,000 feet. It's like one of the highest motor passes in the world. We also saw the highest, one of the highest like gas stations. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, just like hanging out and seeing the, like, I would say one of the biggest things that impacted me was just seeing all the nature. It's just so different than Ohio. It's so crazy. It was the first time I've been outside of the United States and Canada, or Canada. So like, this was quite a surprise to me. It's pretty awesome. So yeah, that like kind of concludes the trip. And we came, so I didn't mention this in here, but we came back to Delhi like three times. What's the elevation?
1,000.
Ah, I got you.
1,000, yeah.
So we came back to Delhi a lot of times as well in the middle of this. And at the end, it was really awesome because I felt a lot more comfortable with what was going on with that. Just like walking in the city is just amazing. Yeah, Bob.
Picture on the left, what is that?
Yeah, good question. So those are camels. Yeah, those are double humped camels. It was a lot of fun. We did a lot of different styles of transportation on the show.
They look like, from here, like really cool rock formations.
No. Yeah.
Another very serious question.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a story behind like that stash that you have?
Okay. Calling me out. So the mustache. Oh no, I can talk about my facial hair.
I don't want you to spend a single second talking about
it. I just didn't shave. Okay, whatever.
There's a couple of cities associated with St. Thomas. St. Thomas is the apostle that made it to India.
Yeah.
Do you know where that is on the map?
So that's in Goa, or one of the places he visited was in Goa. Okay. So right here, we actually went to one of the churches that was supposedly. But yeah, that was really intriguing to kind of hear that story. There actually are a lot of, I'm actually taking a class this fall about this, and so I don't really know too much about it yet, but there are a lot of stories of Jesus coming to India as well. I don't really know, Sean, do you know? I don't know. But like, yeah, that's kind of, there's a lot of different, legends and stories going on there. But yeah, okay, so that kind of concludes That I did have one more discussion question, but I don't think we'll do that. I'll just ask it, and then I'll play the video that I made real quick, and then we'll go eat lunch. So, so a little bit to do with colonialism. This had to do, I guess my question to you is compare and contrast the kind of what's going on between the British movement into India and also the United States' movement into North America. I think it's there's a lot of similarities there, and something we don't talk about a lot. Like, it took me, it wasn't until I was talking about the British reigning over India that I started to think about what had gone on here as well. So, and then can colonialism ever be justified? Thinking about that as well is, I think, a really important issue, because it's easy to drift to, it's sad that those events have ever happened. So, something to think about.